Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Enduring relationships are becoming increasingly rare in today's world. A key foundational element required to build or repair a marriage or family is personal commitment to Jesus and submission to His Word. Today's message explains God's design for a healthy marriage and a strong family. Please open your Bible to Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins today's study.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 through chapter 4, verse 1. Wives, submit unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. That's God's word. So we're going to talk a little bit about relationships this morning and the areas of marriage, parenting, vocation. And you probably know as well as I do that there is no shortage of material out there for you and I to read and glean from, both outside and inside of the church on these areas. And I don't know about you, but they all have value to some degree, I'm sure. But I like simple. Simple is easy. And here we have God's wisdom in these areas that are so delicate and yet so much a part of the Christian life. And we're going to see instructions concerning these various relationships, and they reveal to us God-ordained rules of order, design, and submission. Submission isn't a popular word in our culture. Biblically, it does not mean inferior. It indicates a chain of command, if you will. Jesus was in submission to the Father, yet according to Philippians 2:6, he was his equal. And so Paul gives us this morning rules of order or rules of design for husband, for wife, parents and children, employers and employees. And in each relationship, there's a mutual responsibility for us to submit to the specific instructions given unto us as from the Lord. And what we're reading this morning about these relationships are the will of God for functional purposes. Because the Word of God is the will of God. Or let me put it this way. These instructions on these various relationship areas are the ingredients of what we can call gospel-centered living for the glory of God. Seven times in these nine verses, you will find the phrase in the Lord or some equivalent term, stressing the importance of understanding these instructions that are divinely inspired. But sadly, most of us, when we read these instructions, husbands are very well versed in what wives are to do. Wives are very well versed on what husbands are to do. Children are much wiser than their parents. And the employee-employee relationship. And there's a problem with that. Because We need to hear what God has to say to us, because that's the only thing that we can control. How many of you know you can't control another person's behavior? And when you try to control another person's behavior, which is defying the divine design, you have chaos, you have confusion, you have marital problems. Sounds like the United States of America. So one of the things to bear in mind is to look at the instructions that God gives to you. You see, me knowing the will of God for my wife will never make me a better husband. Think about that. And you are. You're saying, you're right, Pastor Ray. You knowing the will of God for your wife will not make you a better husband. You knowing the will of God for your wife or your husband will not make you a better husband or wife. Or a more submissive child, or a better employee or employer. That's the point. We have God's wisdom here. Now, here's something that can be easily overlooked. Paul segues into this section on Christ-centered submission in verse 17 with the words, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." And then in the midst of this series of instructions, he says in verse 23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." In other words, those verses give us the demeanor that puts the name of Jesus and the gospel on display in society. You see, because you and I are now transplants of heaven on earth. We are witnesses. We are ambassadors. And once you name the name of Christ, whether you want to accept it or not, people are watching. People are listening. So what we do bears a weight of responsibility. As disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever we take communion, we're reminded that we are bought with a price. Our lives no longer belong to us. We don't get to make up the rules. God's word dictates to us His will. And we read in verse 17 and in verse 7 and in verse 23 that whatever we do, we are to do it thanking the Lord in the name of the Lord and for the glory of God. Whatsoever we do, every one of us is under authority. All of us, ideally speaking, under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, under authority within every realm of society, in the church, in the government, in family, work. There's order. God designed order. And whatsoever we do it before the face of God, in reliance upon God's grace, according to God's guidance, for God's glory. All of our lives now, all of our lives are meant to be lived for the glory of God. And that boils down to even the smallest daily routines. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whatsoever you, whether you eat or drink, you do all what? For the glory of God." Living with that understanding. So before we begin tackling the topic of the predominant roles in marriage, I want to point out that marriage, according to the Lord Jesus, who is the ultimate authority, is the doing of God, regardless of one's nationality or culture. Sometimes you'll talk to people when you go abroad and you'll talk about marriage and they'll say, "Well, I'm Italian." Well, what the heck does that mean? Or I'm Middle Eastern, or I'm from Spain, or I'm from South America. As if God has different rules according to how culture says you are to function as a husband or wife. The Word of God is binding upon every culture. Never let society dictate what are the roles of the husband or the roles of the wife. God ordained the covenant of the marriage union before the fall. Mark 10, verse 6 says, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." Isn't that refreshing? "And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder." And so, this is the clearest statement in the Bible that the marriage union is not a human institution. It's not a human institution that man has the authority to alter or to redefine to fit in with society. The words, "what God has joined together," means that the marriage union is God's doing. And if it's altered or redefined contrary to His design, it's a recipe for failure and for confusion. Try to defy the law of gravity. It doesn't work. Notice here in this passage from Genesis that this union is a monogamous union between a man who is a male and a woman who is a female. Man, woman. Used to be you would talk about the opposite sex. Try that now. Adam and Eve were told to be fruitful and multiply. Saints, you are smarter than this fallen world system. At least, I hope you are. Do a little biological study on how the reproduction system works. And it's only when a male and a female come together in sexual intimacy that they have the ability to reproduce children. Right? Everybody knows that. Ephesians 5, 31 and 32 tells us that the marriage union is designed by God to be a model of Christ and the church. So even though marriage is made for mankind, there's this special attachment to those of us who are Christians. Now, our marriages are to be a reflection of Christ's marriage and love to the church. And this holy and sacred biblical view of marriage lifts it out of the sitcom sewer and elevates it to being this bright, beautiful expression of God's glory and His love for those who trust in Christ. The writer to the Hebrews tells us in chapter 13, verse 4, "Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." The gospel does not undermine the creation ordinances. And what the Lord is telling us in His Word is that things like same-sex marriage, open marriages, cohabitation, outside of being married, are forbidden and called an abomination in the sight of God or a tragic mistake. That's what the Bible teaches. So let's read again verses 18 and 19. About the roles or divine design for the wife and the husband. And as I unpack these roles, I'm assuming that every married couple here wants to know and be in the center of God's will. Do you want to? Well, we don't have to search. It's right here. And if you're unmarried, take notes, because this is going to be your role as a future husband or wife. So first in verse 18, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord," or as it is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Now, Genesis 3:16 says, "Unto the woman He said, God said to the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow there you shall bring forth children. Now, how many of you women have had children? Is it true that it hurts a little bit? I can tell from having my hand broken a couple of times that it's... Well, that's true, right? And so is the rest of it. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, that word rule doesn't mean dictate, dictator. Rule. And that is spoken of in Ephesians 5:33. You see, the Old Testament and the New Testament have one message. They're not in opposite to one another. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So, is Christ our head? Church? Three of you, raise your hands. Yes, this is good. Yeah, this is good. This is good. This is going to be really good. Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So that's the wife. Husband, verse 19, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We'll talk about that for a moment. In 1 Peter 3:7, we read, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, biblical knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And so, husbands, our prayer life is impacted to some degree by how we treat our wives. That's pretty significant, isn't it? The husband, the head, his prayer life is affected by how he treats his wife. Now, the question comes up, what about if I, who am born again, what about if I am married to someone who is not a believer? Well, that is called being unequally yoked. You can read 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And Peter writes instructions to those who are married to someone who is unsaved. Simple. Notice with me, saints, wives submit, two words, husbands love. Don't you like that? Now, bless your hearts, all of you who have blessed me over the past four decades with books to help me grow in the Lord. And I'm so thankful. And I've been given marriage books and manuals this thick. And by time I get to chapter 2, I don't even know that they're talking about marriage. How about this? Wives, submit. Husbands, love. Those are like two rules of a gospel-centered, Christ-glorifying, Spirit-filled marriage. Those two rules, according to God, complement each other. In other words, this isn't a control thing. But here's where the problem lies. Those two roles, wives submit, husbands love, are contrary to our unregenerate, self-centered, control freak nature. It's the very opposite. So we see that the key to having a God-glorifying marriage is really basically rooted in a proper understanding of the gospel, God's love for us. And the key to having a God-glorifying marriage is both when the husband and the wife are loving God supremely and carrying out that role in submission to the Lord Jesus. So being the perfect gentleman that I am, I'm going to talk to the ladies first. Wives, submit. Now, ladies, whenever there's premarital counseling, as soon as this word comes up, I can get some facial expressions from women that are just, how did such an angelic face turn into a tiger? Well, that's because for any of us, a failure to understand what the Bible means. The word submit here means to come under or to arrange in order by God's design. And the purpose of submission of the wife to the husband is for functional purposes. Now, as we work our way through all of these relationships, it has been pointed out, and it is true, that those who are under authority are addressed before those who are in authority. And there's a biblical reason for that. You know why? People who are under authority can make life miserable for those who are in authority. So when the word says to submit, the Greek tenses here are in, well, this is just technical stuff. They're in the middle voice, which means it requires a voluntary submission from your heart as it is fit into the Lord. That's you submitting to the Lord voluntarily. Yes, Lord, I agree with you. And I'm doing this as unto you. Now, not only in the case of the wife, but in the case of children, employers, employees, the wife or those who are under authority are never expected to submit to any sinful, ungodly, or illegal, non-biblical demands of a husband, of a parent, of an employee. Okay, you get that, okay? You understand that. But this divine design for the headship of the husband is based on really three biblical truths. One, the order of creation. Number two, the judgment imposed for her deception and the temptation. And number three, the picture of Christ in the church. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 gives us a few more details and tells us that the wife, the reasons why the wife is to follow the Lord's instructions on why and how she is to submit to her husband is for this reason, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Isn't that something? What does it imply? That when you identify yourself as a Christian couple, people watch, don't they? You know that to be true, right? They watch. They listen. And here we are told that one of the reasons, and the same would be true when we get to the men, okay? Lest I forget that. Whenever we are out of order, causing chaos and dysfunction or disunity within a marriage, chances are that the world is going to say, really? That's Christianity? Well, if that's Christianity, I don't need it. But that goes for any area of authority. So, wife, submit. Surrender. Bless the Lord, oh my
soul, bless His holy name. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.